Glad to see each and every one of you here this evening. We're here. I'd encourage you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. As you're turning there, let me make mention of something I should have mentioned this morning. And I don't know why I did not. I think I have an order of doing things in certain way that I prepare for standing before you. And for whatever reason, this did not make it on my list. And I apologize for that because it's good news. And that is that yesterday I received news that Chris Roberts, who most of you know, was restored to Christ. And he had hand in helping to teach a man by the name of Mike the gospel. And I was able to baptize Mike into Christ yesterday afternoon. And I apologize for not mentioning that earlier. That is good news. And we should rejoice with Mike and with Chris both for their dedication to the Lord. And certainly hope that, and pray that we'll have more opportunities to know them. Now, Mike happens to live in Iowa. And there's a story perhaps there in how he came to be here, but he is heading back to Iowa, and Chris made sure and spoke with him about finding a church up there, and he assured us that he had a place where nearby where he could attend with God's people. So we're thankful to him and to God for that. Increasing our faith. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Now, that's an interesting request that's made by the disciples, the apostles, who have been with the Lord Jesus Christ for some time now, learning from Him, following Him, modeling their lives after Him. There was something that Jesus had just recently said that challenged them, that prompted them and encouraged them to say, "Increase our faith." And the song we sang just a moment ago, that we engaged our hearts and our lips in, spoke about our walk in the light, and that we're trying, we're doing, and that our aim and our goal is to serve God and to walk in the light as He is in the light. But it is a constant engagement that's necessary for us to walk in the light. And it requires at times that we express this same sentiment to our Lord, increase our faith. And so I'd like to talk about that tonight. What was it in particular that prompted the apostles to ask the Lord to help them with their faith? And then how might we make an application of that? Let's look at Luke chapter 17 now, beginning in verse 1. Jesus said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck, he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And in verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." I want you to consider that they believed Jesus. They believed Him in what He said. But they also recognized that this was a challenge to their faith. They thought within themselves, examined themselves, and said, "This is something I need help with. What you just said, I need help with that." They weren't arguing with the Lord. They weren't saying, no, Lord. No. My brother needs to do this, that, and the other. You're wrong." No, they weren't arguing with the Lord at all. They weren't trying to find a way out of doing the right thing. "Well, what if that sin happened to be this, that, or the other? Then surely I don't have to forgive him." No, they weren't trying to find a way out of doing the right thing. They were asking for help in carrying out the right thing. They had the right attitude with regards to their Lord and Savior. He gave them instruction and they said, "We need to do that. But we need help doing that." And that's commendable. They knew what they needed was more faith. And that's why they said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Now let's take these three words, increase. By definition, it means to become or make greater in size, greater in amount, greater in intensity, or greater in degree. They knew for certain they did not want, nor did they need, less faith. They knew we needed something else, something more. What we have right now does not seem to us to be sufficient. Help us. And increase our. They're not talking about someone else. They're not looking out and saying, but Lord, what about those people? Or I'm sure thinking about that person, they could sure use this lesson. No, they heard what the Lord said, and they're saying, increase our faith. We're listening to you, Lord. We hear what you're saying. We know what you're saying has to do with us and our brethren and how we engage with them. We need this. I need this. Now, is there a time in which we ought to commend someone to the gospel? Yes. Is there a time in which we might think, you know, I sure hope brother or sister so-and-so can hear this message and I'm going to help make sure they get a copy of this message? Yes. But they weren't busy thinking about other people when they were listening to the Lord. They were busy thinking about themselves and the instruction given to them and how they can fulfill God's will. They did not try to shift attention or responsibility to others. Increase our faith. Faith. It's in part understanding, but it's also confidence in Jesus and what He says. And understanding that it's direction for life. It is instruction. It is guidance from high. They were willing to take Jesus at His word. And they knew that they would stand before Him in judgment. And so if He says, forgive your brother 7 times if he sins against you and repents of that and comes to you asking forgiveness, then you do it. And they said, all right, we'll do that, but we need help with that. Increase our faith. And so let's consider that. Faith can be increased. Not only did the apostles recognize that faith could be increased, but that their faith needed to be increased. And they also knew that the Lord is the one to ask for help in that. They didn't go on run off to the rabbis. They didn't go off to the synagogue and try to find somebody else to tell them about faith and what they needed to do and about repentance and forgiveness. They went to the source. And they asked the one who knew. The truth. Who is the truth? They had, you see, come to understand that hearing is necessary. And that it's faith that comes through hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And here is God Himself in the flesh standing in their presence. He is speaking to them about their lives. And they recognize this is about what I need. Now you think about it. What was Jesus doing here on this earth at all? Well, in parts, He was living a perfect life so that He would have a life to give that was perfect and sinless and could be offered as that sacrifice, blameless, without sin. He was in part performing signs, miracles, and wonders that would substantiate His claim to deity, proving without a doubt to all who are accepting of the truth that He is the Son of God. And that He will do and can do exactly what He claims to do. But He's also teaching the gospel of the kingdom. He was teaching them about citizenship. He was teaching them about daily life. He was teaching them about how to deal with not only their own issues, but with each other. He was telling them how to walk in the light as He is in the light, as we sung about a few moments ago. And that's what we find Jesus doing then. When they said, increase our faith, in this case, He did not wave His hands over them. He did not do some grand showing of a sign, miracle, or wonder in this case. That's not what they needed. What they needed to increase their faith was teaching. And that's why in the next verse, in verse 6, so the Lord said. He teaches them. Because that's how you increase your faith to accomplish God's will. In requesting that their faith be increased, the apostles asked Christ to teach them so that they could grow spiritually. Now turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and consider that not only can faith be increased, but that our faith is not to remain static or still. The Apostle Paul thanked God for the increasing faith of the Thessalonian church. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. The Apostle Paul, here writing by inspiration, said, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other." These brethren are growing in their faith, and the Lord is thankful for that. Paul is thankful for that, and we should be thankful for that as well. Because it not only tells us that faith can increase, but that we can increase in our faith as well. That we can fulfill God's law, and that we can be the people who God claims us to be and calls us to be and wants us to be. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and consider the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter in his admonition to all Christians, to all disciples of Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, look with me at verse 5, beginning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, beginning. And here, by inspiration, the Apostle Peter said in verse 5, "For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things, notice, are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's not just about possessing some, it's about abounding in it. And how does that abounding take place? He said, you grow. You add to it. And how do we do that? We listen to the instruction, the divine guidance of our God through His Son and His inspired prophets. And what the apostles asked, we should ask and request of the Lord, increase my faith. You know, there are many people who are not satisfied with their life. They're not satisfied with the struggles that they're facing in daily life, especially when it comes to obeying the Lord. They know they need to, but they just can't seem to do it. But they also seem to be satisfied with their faith. They say, well, I'm not happy with my life as it is. And yes, I know I need to serve the Lord, but it's not working out for me. But when you try to talk to them or help them with their faith, that is through teaching of the Word, what happens? Well, no, don't talk to me about that. I understand. I have faith. I know the Lord Jesus. But you see, if they would grow in their faith, in their understanding of Jesus Christ, if they would understand that their faith is what needs attention, and that faith comes from the Word of God, then they would be able to serve the Lord faithfully. And they would not have the life and the struggles that they're having as they are right now. But it's wrong. It's a mistake. And it leads us to failure if we ignore the fact that we need to have our faith strengthened, increased, and growing. When a commandment, an instruction, or a biblical example seems too difficult for us to obey, we might be tempted to follow after many in this world and to just give up or try to find some way to excuse ourselves from obeying our Creator. But instead, what we ought to do is say, Lord, increase my faith. You said this thing. I read your word. I heard this sermon. I heard this teaching. And Lord, you've called me to do this thing. Or to put off this kind of behavior that I've been engaged in. And I'm just not sure I can do that. I'm not arguing with the Lord about it, that it's the right thing to do. I'm not struggling with His authority over me. But I'm not saying how I can really do that. Lord, increase my faith. so that I can obey Him in all things, because our faith can be increased. So why should we want to increase our faith? Well, we need to hold on to what we have. Look over in Matthew chapter 25. I'm speaking to Christians, to baptized believers, those who have put on Christ in obedience and who have committed themselves to Christ to a lifelong pursuit of perfection, walking in the light as He is in the light. And we need to hold on to what we already have. And if we don't increase our faith, well, then our faith will soon be decreasing. If we don't increase what we have, then our faith will soon be decreasing. There's a law in effect that God put in place in His creation called the law of disuse. In Matthew 25 and verse 29, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." If you have faith and you don't use that faith, you don't practice that faith, you don't put it into application in your life today and grow with it, ask for help in growing with it, listening to the Lord and growing with it, then what will happen? You'll lose it. The Lord says you will. And whose fault will that be? Well, if it happens to me, it's my fault. If it happens to you, it's your fault. It's not the Lord's. While the Lord put that law into place, the law of disuse, He also gives us clear instruction to be about the business of hearing His word and doing it, putting it into practice, growing in our faith. And as we see tonight, if we're lacking in something and struggling with something, let's ask for His help in increasing our faith. Because faith is certainly something that can be lost. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. He tells Timothy, "Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." He tells Timothy, you need to have faith. You need to maintain a good conscience, because there are some, sadly, who have rejected it. They had it at one time, but they didn't grow in it. They didn't increase in it. They didn't properly put it into practice and application in daily life. They've rejected the faith. And he equates it to a shipwreck. Devastating. Loss. Destructive. And deadly. He identifies a few examples, Hymenaeus and Alexander. And he said, "I've delivered them over." Why? That they may learn not to blaspheme. They need to learn something. They need to learn the danger they're in because they've abandoned their faith. They've shipwrecked their faith. So faith can be lost. The best way to maintain our faith, to hold on to what we already have in Christ, is to add to our faith and constantly engage with our faith and apply it today. Because we need to remain, and we need to increase our faith to remain true to the faith. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And consider the root of indifference is a lack of faith. There are some Christians who are very zealous when they first baptized. They're very zealous when they first put on Christ. And they're very zealous when they see the work they have before them. But then, well, they start to grow discouraged. Or they start to meet resistance. Or they start to slack in their attendance, their participation, and their engagement. And before long, they become indifferent. They just don't care. It's neither here nor there to them. And pretty soon they lose what they had. They are not remaining true to the faith. They're like Hymenaeus and Alexander. Those who increase in faith are less likely. Those who increase in faith are less likely to become spiritually lazy, to fall asleep, spiritually speaking, and to eventually abandon the faith. And that's what we want, isn't it? We don't want to abandon the faith. We don't want to fall asleep spiritually. We don't want to become lazy spiritually or have a weak faith. We want a strength. We want to survive. We want to overcome. We want to thrive. We want to have that abundant life that our Lord promised to those who remain in Him. So that means we need to increase our faith. You know, God's power, as mighty as our God is, He will not keep us if we do not participate with Him in our faith. He will not keep us apart from our will if we are determined not to grow, but instead to just drift. He will allow us to drift. He will allow us to become something less than what we're called to become and what we are in Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, beginning, in which the Apostle Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Did you see all the wonderful things that our God provides and offers us? And He says that we're kept by the power of God. That means He is assisting in helping us maintain these blessings and maintain this hope and maintain this drive and this purpose in our lives that we didn't have when we were outside of Christ. He's helping to keep us there, but you'll notice it is not God apart from us doing these things. What does He say? We can be kept by the power of God through faith. That's our part. That's what was going on with the apostles and the disciples in the first century. They had faith. They had an understanding and a confidence in the doctrine of Christ. But there was something about that that challenged them. And they didn't want to go back to the world. They didn't want to have less faith or less of what God offers. They knew they wanted to proceed and have this which God through His Son Jesus Christ offers. And so they had faith. But they said, increase our faith. We need more faith. So God has great power and promises about keeping us in these blessings. But He will not keep us apart from our own will. He will allow us to choose. And I'll tell you, as we increase our faith through learning and applying the truth, then we lessen the possibility of being unfaithful to the Lord and giving up on Him who gave His life for us. We need to increase our faith to remain true to the faith. We need to increase our faith to accomplish greater things for the Lord. Turn over in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. As you're turning to Luke 17, I'll tell you just a little bit and we'll talk about Numbers 13. But you're turning to Luke chapter 17. And consider the lack of faith, a weak faith that does not grow, that tries to remain stagnant and actually weakens, that kind of faith will keep us from doing much for the Lord. It keeps us from meeting our potential. You see, the Lord God sees great potential in us. He has created us for His good works. But when we have little faith and don't increase our faith, we are not capable of doing those good works because we've not done our part. And you think about the 10 spies that are recorded for us back in Numbers chapter 13. You think about spies who were sent out, and there were actually 12 sent out, but we're going to focus our attention on the 10 unfaithful spies. Because you remember that they were given a fact-confirming mission. The Lord God had already told them, this land is plentiful, this land is wonderful, this land is yours for the taking. And all these spies had to do was go in and say, yes, it is exactly as the Lord said it is, and we can do this. But they didn't do that. Well, two of them did, but 10 of them did not. 10 of them didn't have much faith. Now, they were given a responsibility, a task to do, and they went out to do that. So they were faithful in that. They made an effort. And they saw what they were supposed to see, and they came back and they even admitted, yes, we saw it just as the Lord said it was. So you see, their little faith caused them to do something. But what really happened there? They saw the giants of the land. And they said, these people are like giants and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. They saw the walled cities and said, how can we even approach those? Their little faith caused a lack of faith in others. You see, they didn't do all they could do, like Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb fulfilled their responsibility. They did the work, and they did the work in a great way. But not those 10 faithless spies. And when they reported back to God's people that God's work could be done, or could not be done, I'm sorry, the congregation failed. Why? Because those 10 spies failed in their faith. And the lack of faith on our part can cause us to limit what we think we can do. If the Lord tells us to do something in His Word, we can do it. If the Lord gives His church a work to do, we can do it. If the Lord asks us to put off certain things, we can do that. If the Lord tells us to refrain from doing certain behaviors or attitudes or teachings, we can do that. We can put those things off. We can ignore those things that are wrong and sinful and uphold what is true, what is right, what is good, and what builds faith in others. But a lack of faith will cause us to limit what we, as a congregation or as individuals, can and will do. And I'll tell you, sometimes we can be more inclined to talk about faith than demonstrate our faith. Through faith, the land could have been taken. And you know how I know that? I hope you know how I know that. Because you know it too, if you've read the scriptures. You know that there were two spies that day who said, yes, we can take this land just as our God said we can. And then they marched around the wilderness of no fault of their own, but because of those sinful Israelites. And they watched them die one by one. And they wandered in that wilderness for 40 years. And that's what we've been talking about with our children. 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And you know what? When they came back to that promised land and it was time to take the land, guess who was there? Joshua and Caleb. In their 90s, saying, yes, we can take this land, we'll face the giants. And they had a part in that. Great work, because they had great faith. The Lord said in Luke 17 and verse 6, I've asked you to turn to Luke 17, look at verse 6. The Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted by the sea, and it would obey you. The Lord is not calling us to act in supernatural ways, but He's saying you need more faith. You need to have faith. And too often, we don't even have the faith of a mustard seed. Look at Matthew chapter 7. We need to increase our faith to prepare ourselves for the difficulties that lie ahead. Life is full of circumstances, events, and people who will try our faith, who will challenge our faith, who will cause us to doubt our faith. Those things might be sickness, they might be betrayal, they might be failures, they might be losses, but that's a part of life. And the Lord doesn't free us from those things of this life. But if we aren't prepared to meet them and follow the Lord's instruction, then we stand to lose it all. We might have once done great things in service to the Lord, But if we don't continue doing those great things and greater things in service to our King who asks of us those things, then we stand to lose it all. That's why the apostles asked, increase our faith. And that's why we should ask, increase our faith. When we ask, and then we, in faith, listen to the Lord, have our faith increased, and do His will, then we can face those difficulties ahead. In Matthew chapter 7, this very familiar text, and I've been going through this text quite often with you. In Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Do you want to do the right thing? We've done the right thing if we are, in fact, in Christ, having been baptized into Him for the forgiveness of our sins. We've done the right thing in committing ourselves to Him, entering into that covenant relationship. But understand, that covenant relationship is a lifelong relationship. It is a relationship that ought to be one that sustains us and that motivates us and moves us and helps us and grows with us. It is a relationship that ought to prompt us when we are challenged with the daily things of life or the instructions of life given to us by our God. We say, Lord, increase our faith. I'm struggling with this. I don't doubt your authority. I don't doubt you. And I don't doubt the life you've given me, but I need help. And listen to what He says through His word. Apply what He says through His word. And then we are the wise people described by our Lord who built our house on the rock and who can withstand the trials of this life, this day. We need to increase our faith. Even if we have increased our faith, and I hope that we have, there is yet more to grow. And we need to increase our faith ever more so that one day we can go home to heaven to be with our God. That's our goal. He wants us to be there. He doesn't want us to be lost. And so He wants us here and now, as we sang a few moments ago, to walk in the light as He is in the light. And that's going to require faith on our part. Obedient faith. Now the song that we've been asked to turn to tonight, number 312, Are You Coming to Jesus Tonight? That's a question that is often asked of the one who is outside of Christ, and that is an appropriate question. But I'll tell you, even if you are already a member of the Lord's church, His body, you've been baptized into Christ, but your life is not as it ought to be, you need to make your life right. His plan for pardon for you is different than that of the one outside of Christ. But it's ever so important. And that is, if you've been sinning, you need to repent of that sin. You need to pray for forgiveness from Him. And if we can assist you this evening in making your life right, we encourage you to come while we stand and while we sing the song selected.